Hey, you awesome folks. Thanks for taking this journey of discovery with your guide, Keith Haney. You're listening to the Becoming Bridge Builders podcast, your favorite podcast for everything from racial reconciliation to education innovation, justice reform, and leading change in the 21st century. This podcast is for people who love to be challenged with difficult topics, but want practical solutions to solve these challenging issues. Becoming Bridge Builders makes change possible. Each week on the podcast, Keith invites innovative thought leaders to share how they are building bridges in their area of expertise. You will hear breakthrough ideas and concepts that are changing the world. He's featuring guests who are best-selling authors, leaders at Microsoft, entrepreneurs, leading educators, professors, lawyers, and so many more. Listen in to learn how you can be the bridge to the change you are seeking.
My guest today, Sandy Stream. She's an author and activist whose work is built on the belief that everyone deserves and is capable of finding peace and warrior-like strength within themselves. After teaching law for over 20 years and raising her two children and facing a life full of adversity and lessons, she decided to turn her efforts toward facilitating workshops for young and experienced adults to encourage them to live in peace and power. We welcome Sandy to the podcast. Well, Sandy, how are you doing? Welcome to the podcast today.
Hi, Keith. Thank you for having me and giving me the chance to talk about my work here. Appreciate it.
I love the fact that we get a chance to have this conversation, so I'm looking forward to our time together.
Me too.
So I'd like to ask my guests a question to kind of get a chance to know you a little better for the audience and for myself. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Oh, the best piece of advice I've ever received. I don't know where that advice came from exactly, but in one of my worst moments in my life, I kind of sat there and I was just like, what do I do? What do I do? I don't really know who I was asking or what I was asking or what I was looking for. And the best advice that came to me was to just shut up and listen. And so what I actually started doing from that inner advice or whatever you want to call it is I started meditating a lot, and that was the start of many things for me. So
interesting.
Where that advice came from, who knows, but it was basically sit there and listen.
Yeah, sit in the moment and kind of learn from it and grow from it. I like that.
Yeah, start to listen to myself deeper and so. At first, I was like, what do you mean shut up? Who's telling me to shut up here?
that's critical. Depending who's telling me to be quiet.
Who's telling me to be quiet here? It was actually be quiet. Yeah, it was be quiet. And I was like, what kind of inner advice is that? Be quiet.
That's right.
Actually, it was a very important advice. Yeah.
I'm always curious, too, on our journey, there are always people that we run across that have served to inspire us. And I always give my guests an opportunity to kind of stop and reflect on that, but also kind of maybe say thank you to those people who have been so impactful for us. So who is that person or maybe those people in your life who you look back on and go, wow, they've really played a critical role in my life?
That would definitely be my grandmother who's passed, but she had very loving eyes. And I think everybody in her presence felt it. So she was the kind of person that pretty much everyone would feel like they're the favorite. So I can give it away. And so just witnessing that, I think, was very embedded in me in a deep way.
Wow, that's special. And those people in our lives are really, really critical for us.
Yeah.
So here's a tough question. Tell us your personal story.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I didn't realize this was like a 3-day podcast. I won't go into all the details. That would be long and boring. And actually, they overlap often. I think most people will be able to relate with my life as many's, which is basically we struggle a lot. So most people, including myself, I'm sure have had very difficult times, emotionally, whether it's with family, with spouses, with, health issues. I think most people really go through all kinds of difficulties in life. And I did as well. And what I found myself in, to do the fast version, because it would be too long to go through the whole life, which included so many things. But During COVID times, I found myself in kind of extra inner difficulty, like really deeply not feeling well, you know, in my relationship, in my home, in my whatever, everything, just a real mess. And so I started spending time, I call it researching, because although people think, you know, your emotions and all these kind of things is just wishy-washy stuff, I think it's actually very scientific almost. So I started researching, you know, how to live basically, like how do I live and feel well? Like it's such a mess for me right now. And so this is where I started really researching internally and researching externally, watching talks and videos and books and anything I could get my hands on, and crying and this and everything else. And lo and behold, after a lot of time doing this, and I think it helped that I'm actually a lawyer, so my organization or complex, connection skills, whatever they are, helped me to really organize things into sections. And I realized that, you know, these many pieces of the puzzle, as I was starting to put them together, really started to make sense. And by the end of my process, I really started to feel like okay all the time, no matter what was going on. So I thought that was really huge. And I put all these little pieces together. So it's not one thing, like sit there, meditate 10 minutes, you'll feel well. It wasn't like that.
Right.
It was many, 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 many pieces. And I put them together in what I called the book called The Courage Circle. And then since February, I felt very strongly compelled to start circles in my community at the yoga studio and online, where we sit together as adults, and people come together from every age, race, nationality, gender, whatever, like there's really no restriction there. And we basically discuss these topics one by one every single week and share about them. And unfortunately, I think these topics are just not taught well, or at all, maybe in our homes, in our schools, in our, you know, dinner tables, in our whatever. We don't discuss these things, and they're just so essential for being able to guide yourself in your life of how to live. So that's what I do now. I love to facilitate those circles, and we're just respectful, kind, encouraging people sitting around discussing important topics, honestly. And what's happening from these circles is incredible. Like each person, you know, grows, including myself. I thought I'm going to come and like, you know, facilitate. But of course, we end up being the student as well. And so I love facilitating these. And every week we cover different topics. One week we might discuss, you know, what is victim mentality? What is boundaries? What is encouragement anyways? What is this? What is, you know? And it's just remarkable what happens in that space every week. So
that's awesome. I am curious. You talked about how during COVID it was a struggle.
Yeah.
And I think it was for a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. What were some of the challenges that you learned or dealt with during that struggle?
Oh, so many. I don't even know where to start with them. But I guess ultimately it's about you know, your relationship with yourself, right? So it might have come out as, you know, my external relationship, which was not going well in my home or whatever other things, or, but ultimately, I guess the source of everything is how we are ourselves, relating with ourselves, what accountability we take, what boundaries we set. So it's fine and dandy to talk about it as if it's all external stories, but for me, really, it really is an internal situation that is going on. And that's why I think the solution is really also internal for everything. And so it could be everything. So just learning how to set boundaries, learning how to listen to yourself, trust yourself, learning how to process your emotions and not demonize them, learning how to communicate, or what you tolerate, what you don't tolerate, people pleasing, I don't know, everything, everywhere. It was all over the place. Lessons I was learning, dictatorship, mine and others, controlling behavior, manipulative behavior. So many.
Yeah, that's good. I'm reading a book with my wife right now, and we are talking about how do you listen to yourself. And
yeah,
and sometimes the voices from our past traumas are the things that are impacting us. And we have to somehow learn to, like you say, listen to those, give those past voices permission to voice themselves. But then how do you get back to what our book is focused on is the image of God that lives in us. So how do we get back to that, the true self in us, in the image of God part? I'm curious about your book, The Courage Circle. You asked the question, how do you give yourself permission? So talk to us about, in your book, how do you give yourself permission?
Well, I mean, ultimately, it starts with, you know, how do you view yourself in your deepest, deepest, deepest way? So do we think of ourselves as some, I mean, I don't know if we share views, Keith, because we didn't discuss it, but I'll just share my view and sure, you're free to have your view, obviously. But for me, you know, when we look really, really deeply, how do you view yourself internally? So are you like something wrong with you, which is what typically people walk around that feeling, something's very wrong with me, because this is the message that they've received pretty much their whole life in one form or another, indirectly, subtly, whatever, but they really get this message. Or if we sit with ourselves for a long time, we might discover that actually we're innately very good and pure. And this for me, you know, occurred by really having a very, very high level compassion for myself, like really feeling for myself, feeling for what I've gone through, feeling, understanding mistakes that I may have made and not being hard on myself because I understand, you know. So it's really about understanding your essence. And so when you start to feel this essence of yours and refuse to agree with the messaging that we get on a constant basis, I think that's a huge, that was a huge part, because then we're no longer trying to like prove anything to anyone else or get points from anyone or think that we need to do something for someone to somehow get some sticker or points or grade or I don't know what. So that really eliminates a lot of things. And then I guess the other big one, but there's so many, like I said, it was many pieces of puzzle, is to stop demonizing our own emotions, because our emotions are, you know, in our body and they're very correct. Like there's nothing wrong with them. And we've been taught that this emotion is good, this one's not good, but they're all okay. There's nothing wrong with them. They are actually our guidance system. So if you get sad, instead of thinking like, oh my God, I shouldn't feel sad, I'm supposed to be grateful, I'm supposed to be this, what about the opposite? Like, oh, I really feel sad. I wonder why. Like, you know, listening to that, maybe I'm lonely. Maybe I'm, you know, I need to get out there more. Maybe I need a friend. Maybe I need to grieve. Maybe I, whatever, to listen instead of criticize your own emotions. Or if you feel angry, again, there's nothing wrong with that emotion, right? We're not talking about being aggressive. That's something else, right? We can separate anger, which is just a feeling, and doing something to someone. So without any aggression, but just feeling, anger is natural and normal. And it often means that our boundaries have been broken or we feel disrespected. Or so it's okay to get angry as long as we're not just trying to control people. Some people are angry all the time because they want to control everyone, but that's something else. But if it's just our natural, healthy anger for our, you know, learning how to set our boundaries, that's fine. So stopping to demonize our own bodies and be against ourselves all the time, I think that's a very a big one, right? And then, of course, learning, you know, where all the critical thoughts come from and who put them in our head. And, you know, there's so many aspects of this. So I'm not sure if I answered your question exactly.
No, you did. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. I know we probably are saying the same thing. It just depends on our perspective. I do believe mm-hmm. that there is a good part in us. I would say the good part in us comes from the image of God in us. And the things that keep going against that are the things that the world or our nature typically, it could be responses to things that have happened to us in the past. I remember talking to one of my guests and we were talking about how do you destroy a person's creativity? And that is somebody in your life, maybe when you were 5 years old, and you were in kindergarten, yeah. You drew a picture and they said, that's a horrible picture. And yeah. And that stopped you from being that artist that was inside of you because you heard a negative comment about your ability and you never overcame that. Was that true? Yeah. No, it was.
And then
it
you
was,
suppressed it.
You suppressed it.
Yeah, you suppressed that part of yourself because you thought it's something bad about you. Or so, yeah, I mean, giving yourself permission to be yourself fully again, I guess that's part of the healing process, right? And that is part of feeling, you know, part of who I am is I'm sad today. I feel this today. I mean, that is part of giving yourself permission as well, to allow yourself to feel all your emotions, to follow your gut, to all these things. That's part of being you, and not apologizing to anyone for that. Because like I said, I believe innately we are, you know, everybody's deep essence is fine. And that's something to follow and trust, no matter if anybody else has or not, you know, regardless. Right. Yeah.
So you mentioned the word courage, and I'm curious, you know, I know why courage is important, but why would you say courage is crucial for us as individuals walking this planet?
Well, for me at this point, it's like, it's a constant way. So courage is not, you know, I have to go jump in front of a train for someone. That's not what I mean by that. But it takes like a tremendous amount of courage to start setting boundaries, for example, if you never have. Like, it's huge. It's not a small thing. You know, there's people in my circle that have never, you know, that have, you know, I remember one woman said it was like the first time in her life that she must have been over 50 and told her parents that, you know, no, I can't join for dinner this Sunday night, you know, and just to face the repercussions that were in her mind from having to say no to her parents. It was terrifying. And I totally get that. So setting boundaries takes a huge amount of courage to start to say, you know, no to others and yes to yourself, especially because sometimes other people really might not appreciate that or be kind about it at all or understand. So that takes huge courage. And I think boundaries is a very key thing to learning to be yourself. You know, that is what yourself is. It's your boundaries. It takes a you know, a lot of courage to start to do things what you feel you need to do, even if people around you might not approve or might not think you're doing the right thing or have a million other advice for you that you didn't ask for. So that takes tons of, and so this is a constant. It's not, or it takes a ton of courage to face your past, face your pain, face your traumas, you know, try to go towards healing. That takes huge courage. So for me, it's constant in these kind of aspects and many others. So that would be a courageous life instead of just trying to avoid everything, avoid your pain, avoid conflict, avoid setting boundaries. But in the end, when you do that, because you're afraid, which I understand, but then you end up causing a lot of inner turmoil, much more inner turmoil than living this kind of life where you're facing everything as difficult as it might be, but then you are going to get over the humps, right? Instead of trying to always avoid them, I'll just go for a drink or I'll just whatever and avoid my pain, basically, right?
As you talk about, as I hear you describe boundaries, kind of walk me through boundaries and comfort zones, because it sounds like to me, your boundaries, as you describe them, are getting us to a place where we have that comfort zone where we can sit in our emotions and not be influenced by the negative voices, negative experiences in our background, and be able to be sit comfortably in who we are apart from outside influences. Am I wrong about your...
Yeah, I mean, for sure there's a connection, but it took me a long time to understand, like for me anyways, to understand what boundaries are. So a lot of people think boundaries is like setting rules, like you don't do this and you don't do that and you shouldn't do this. And for me, that's not really what they are. What they are is you personally, usually through feeling anger, which is a healthy kind, will really feel like this is not okay for me. So it's more about you. It has nothing to do with the other person. It's, you know, I'm not okay with this, whatever it is. And if they might change over time, they might be different for different people. So it could be as simple as I'm really exhausted. I can't come to the wedding. You know, that could be a boundary, or I'm not able to tolerate more than a few minutes of yelling because my ears hurt, or it could be whatever. Right. So it's really about you. And the most important thing about boundaries is that you're not really trying to control other people. That's not the point. You're not trying to tell people what to do in their life. You're just stating what is okay with you. And if they don't, you know, respect those, then it's really up to you to make choices, not to keep like, oh, you must do this, you must do this, you must do this, because I set a rule on you. It's not the case. You are just defining yourself. And so the more you start setting these boundaries, which, like I said, could change over time. Like, no, I can't go to this. No basically means yes to you, right? Sometimes it feels like no to someone else, but really it's a yes to yourself. And the more you start to set these like, you know, like, then you're actually defining yourself. So boundaries for me are actually the way to define you. It is the way to become you. Through one piece at a time of these boundaries, then you become more yourself than you were when there was no boundaries, which means people are kind of overlapped. I don't have a real me. We both like skiing. We both, you know, our whole family loves this. Look, there isn't a separate me that actually, no, I need time alone. That's different from somebody else, right? So doing these boundaries are very difficult, and they're very uncomfortable to do because, like I said, there are often other people who might have not been used to us setting these boundaries might try to control or manipulate or guilt trip or refuse or do many things instead of respecting, just respecting the boundaries. So in healthy relationships, boundaries would be respected. So if I tell my friend, like, I'm really sorry, I know I promised to come tonight, I'm just not feeling well today. She would not say like, oh my God, I can't believe you. She'd say, really? I'm so sorry to hear that. I hope you feel better tomorrow, you know?
Right.
So that would be healthy, a healthy relationship, right? Where boundaries are respected and understood and there's kindness about them.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So explain to the audience kind of what your current circles that you're conducting now are like. So if someone were walking and said, this current circle sounds like something I really want to get into, describe for us what they would experience.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's three parts to it. So first, when we come in, we all introduce ourselves. And then the key thing after everyone introduces themselves, usually they introduce themselves. Okay, I'm a lawyer, I'm a this, I'm an accountant, I'm a whatever. So the first thing after we do that is I ask everybody to drop all their titles. So yes, we have to drop our degrees and our jobs. I even ask people to drop their kids, their cats, their dogs. And just, you know, for the hour that we're together to try to just be dealing with each other from our hearts or from our humanity, from our spirit, from our soul, from whatever word works for somebody, it doesn't really matter, but just from this deeper place instead of, you know, our degrees and our titles and our jobs and all that other stuff. So that's the first thing we do every single time. Then the next thing we do is a quick listening demo. So if you want to see what that's like, Keith, you can just, if you're open to it, you would just, I usually ask someone in the circle, can you just share something with me so I can do a quick demonstration of what is listening? And then we would get to our topic of the week, because every week there's a different topic. So for the listening demo, if you're in the mood for it, Keith, you can just share something with me, whatever you want, easy, hard, or it doesn't have to be too personal if you want, if you're okay with it, something going on in your life, and then I'll do you a quick demo.
Okay. So what's going on in my life right now is I am in the process of unpacking all of my research for my doctoral dissertation. And at times it's very overwhelming to try to figure out where to start. And so that's the kind of thing that's kind of right now, I guess I would say, kind of dominating my thought at this point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now I'll do thanks for sharing. So people share whatever in that first part of the thing. And then I'll demonstrate like three different types of listening that we experience in our world. So the first type, If we imagine ourselves like a human mirror, for example, so if I raise the mirror, so the first type of listening, the person would literally put down the mirror as if what you said just doesn't even exist. So that would be more like dismissive, gaslighting, all those kind of words together. So that one might sound something like, really, Keith? I mean, I found I was really organized during my PhD. And so I find it really worked for me to just, you know, I had my little folders and I like really went through it really quickly when I did mine. Okay. So totally missed, right? Like there's a total
didn't help at all.
Disconnect from reality, right? So I just don't, you know, we kind of laugh about in the circle, but it's pretty serious. If you are constantly interacting with someone, whether it's family member or spouse or whatever else, who just doesn't see your reality whatsoever, it can really cause us to have a lot of, you know, anxiety and second guessing ourselves or whatever, because there's no like, just, we're not talking about like liking anything, but just a recognition of reality. So it's not even about being nice. It's right. about being in reality. And this is your current reality, right? It's the truth. That's the truth. This is what you're experiencing. It's the reality. It's true. So that's the first type. The second type of listening, if you want to call it, again, if we imagine ourselves as a human mirror, so I kind of lift the mirror a little bit. I kind of have a peek of what you just said, Keith, but then I'm going to put it down really quickly and I'm going to go fix you because I don't really like it. I don't really like what I heard. I don't really like your feelings. I don't really like problems. Maybe I can't handle emotions myself. Maybe I want to fix because I think the world should look a certain way all the time. Or maybe I want to feel really important and give you lots of advice. So there's many reasons that can fall into this fixing number two listening. And that one might look like something like, oh, really, Keith, you know what? On Fiverr, you can hire these like personal assistants just right away, just, you know, hire someone there. It's going to help you organize. And that way, don't stress about it. Like, you shouldn't be stressed. Not good for your health. Stop stressing about this thing. It's not good for you. And blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that would be listening kind of number two. And then the third type of listening, which I need to always practice myself. It's not like I'm an expert. It's something to just always be conscious about, which is to be a clean human mirror and really see the truth. Again, not about it even being nice. Yes, it's nice, but not even about being kind. Just, can we see the truth and be okay with that and not have to fix it, negate it, ignore it, all the other thing. So that would sound something like, Keith, it sounds like you have a task that's actually super hard for you. You're just trying to do this PhD stuff and you keep getting overwhelmed. And it sounds like you don't really know how to tackle this right now or not sure how to go about it because it looks a bit overwhelming for you. Is that true?
Yeah.
Something like that. So I don't even need to get the words right. It's only about the energy of listening. And when we do this kind of listening, I could have just said like, oh, really? Like, it's not about like kind of mimicking the words or not the words, but just being okay with the truth, your truth of the moment. So when we do that for the other person, they open, they relax, they start to process their own things because they feel like, well, it's okay. I am. Yeah, I am overwhelmed about this. That's true. Yeah. Okay. I am. Okay. So doesn't mean we're not going to do anything about it. It just means like, it's okay that it's here, right? So this type of listening is very powerful, especially in a group, because it allows everyone to start to be very, I don't want to say accepting as if it's a kind thing. Again, it's about being okay with reality, that this is what each person is experiencing. And now, you know, what can we do about it versus you're not supposed to be experiencing this. This is wrong. Something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with life. You know, that feeling.
Right.
So that's what the circle feels like. We start always with that quick introduction, let go of our titles. Then we do the quick listening demo. And then we discuss a new topic every week. So after those two quick things first, we discuss a new topic. And today we're going to be discussing letting go. And so each person will go around and, you know, I'll start usually just to get things going and I'll talk about my own experiences of what it means to let things go, blah, blah, blah. But that's just me. And then everyone else will share their experiences. And then we're just like collecting wisdom from each other because everybody is open and honest and wise. So it's an amazing experience to be in healthy human environment, which I feel like we don't often experience. Like we really don't get to experience healthy connection very often, you know?
No, that's really good. I like that. So yeah. If people pick up the Courage Circle book, what do you hope they learn from it?
I mean, there's so many pieces. Like I said, it's not one thing. It's all over the place. And it's really not about following me. In fact, that's what I put on my website. Don't follow me, follow you. And that they learn to look in themselves for the answers, to trust themselves, to learn to find the courage to put their boundaries, to, I mean, there's so many pieces of it in terms of looking at yourself for the solutions instead of blaming everybody else for your life. So there's a lot of, you know, I guess it's a taking charge of your life, but not in a critical way, but in a powerful way, meaning that you can be the powerful owner of the situation. And if that means crying, that's fine. If that means taking care of yourself, fine. If that means getting help, fine. If that means, you know, setting boundaries, fine. So it's really learning to take care of yourself in a deep way and to include yourself in the concept of what is nice and kind, because that's another big one. We're often taught that you're nice if you do this for grandma, if you do this for this one, if you help that one. You're so nice, you're so nice, you're so nice, but you're like completely out of the equation. And so I definitely don't think that's kind at all to not have yourself in this equation. So
right.
We have to reverse that that lesson that we might have been taught and realize being kind really, really must include being kind to ourselves first, actually. Because I don't really think we can be kind to others if we have not learned to be kind to ourselves. Like, I don't see how that would work mathematically. Like,
yeah, right.
I'm kind to you, but not kind to me. It's almost impossible. I really feel it's not possible. So,
yeah,
if we learn to be kind. Yeah, we. What do you think?
No, I agree, because there's a Bible verse where it's like, you know, love others as you love yourself. If you don't love yourself, it's really hard to love other people. So I agree with you.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. And I'm sure there's many, you know, glad to hear that it's in the Bible that you follow. And I'm sure there's other, you know, religions and practices that can see the truth of that, because it makes sense. Like, how is it possible? What, like, how would I know what kindness is if I'm kind to you and mean to myself? Like, it's impossible.
Exactly.
Like, I wouldn't even know what the word means. So we have to move away from thinking being kind to yourself is selfish. It's not. It's really the best thing you could do for this world. Being kind to yourself is the best thing you can do for our world, because then you will naturally learn to be kind to others because you've understood what kindness is, you know, towards yourself first. So, exactly. But we're not taught that. We're taught that it's selfish. So we have to really reverse a lot of, you know, things that we get from outside.
Exactly. So here's your chance. You have one message to give to people who want to hear. What message would you give to people?
I would tell people to just learn to trust yourself. You know, most of us have never been trusted in our life. And so I would just say we need to learn to trust ourselves. It's just something that I feel like we don't get that message very often. And I would encourage people to do that.
Exactly. I love to ask my guests this question. What do you want your legacy in the world to be?
I don't really have a need for that. I will just keep doing what I'm doing, and then where that goes, so be it. So
that's
good. Fine with it. Yeah.
So where can listeners find your book, and where can they find you on social media?
So there's my website, which is thecouragecircle.com. So from there, you can look at the book or look at the meetups to join the circle. Or I also started a Telegram channel where I post videos every day. So that's also called The Courage Circle. And I post pretty much every day since the most recent wars began. I know we've had a ton of wars, but, you know, it's starting all over. You know, there's so many, and I thought, will be my part of what I do to respond to that situation. So I've been posting every day just little messages of how we can live to create peace in our world. So That's another thing that I've been doing. So welcome to have a look at those as well. Still getting my feet wet with those.
Well, Sandy, thanks so much for what you do, and blessings on your book and helping people to find their courage, to find their voice, to learn to tap into that part of us that wants to do what's right with people and to love people as we love ourselves. So thank you for the work that you do.
And thank you, Keith. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Becoming Bridge Builder. If you enjoyed this episode and want to help support the podcast, please subscribe and share it with others. Post about it on social media or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram at @BKeithHaney and on Getter and Twitter at @RevHedpin or on his website at alightbreakthrough.org. Thanks again and tune in next time.